ॐ शुक्लां भरवरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So we've been studying the 1000 names of Lord Vishnu, and we have covered up to 36 namas. The last nama that we covered is Ishvara. Ishvara means Lord, one who has unlimited lordliness or power over all things. So I explained to you last week that when you say Lord, Lord is the one who lords over everything, cannot be bound by anything, cannot be bound by anything, cannot be conditioned by anything. So, Ishvara controls Maya, and Maya, empowered by Ishvara, manifests as this entire universe. First the subtle universe and then the gross universe. And therefore, Ishvara controls Maya. Whereas we who have come out of Maya, we are controlled by Maya. So Ishvara, Lord, one who lords over everything, the Lord of everything. Nothing in this universe can bind that pure consciousness, that Vishnu. That is Ishvara. And he is the one who has given us all these various laws. With the various laws, Ishvara controls this universe. So, that's called Ishvara. That's the last nama we saw. So we can get on to the next shloka. Swayambhu Shambhur Aditya Pushkaraksho Mahaswanaha Anadinidano Dhatta Vidata Daturuttamaha Swayambhu Shambhur Aditya Pushkaraksho Mahaswanaha अनादिनिधनो धाता विधाता धातुरुत्तमः। स्वयंभुः, स्वयंभु मीन्स वन हु इज सेल्फ मैनिफेस्टेड, वन हु एग्जिस्ट बाय हिमसेल्फ, इट्स कॉल्ड स्वयंभु, द सेल्फ बॉर्न, सेल्फ मैनिफेस्टेड, सेल्फ बॉर्न, one who exists by himself, uncaused by any other. See, for everything in this universe, there is a cause. So, X has a father, father had a father, father had a father, it goes on like that. But ultimately, when you come to Brahman, that's the causeless cause. It's not caused by something. So it's called Swayambhu. Swayambhu means that which is self-born. It's not caused by anything. It is the cause of everything and not caused by anything. That's called Swayambhu. He manifested himself. He is the foremost of all. He is above all. And he is all actually. So he is omnipresent, self-existent. Not caused by anything, uncaused cause. That's what Swayambhu means. Swayambhu, then the next is Shambhu. Shambhu means one who bestows happiness on devotees. The bestower of happiness on his devotees. What it means is, see, one who bestows happiness on his devotees and look at it from the emotional angle, it's okay, I'm a devotee of Lord Vishnu. So, if I surrender to Lord Vishnu, he'll always give me happiness. This is how you can look at it emotionally. But, what it means, we as students of Advaita philosophy, we want to intellectually little bit understand this little deeper. Bestower of happiness to all his devotees means, those who identify with the Atma, what does it mean? Means those who do not identify with the body, mind and intellect. The senses, mind and intellect. So, those who exercise control over senses, control over mind, identifying with the Atma, with the awareness. So, they are the ones who are devotees. When you say devotee of God, who is a devotee of God? The one who is indulgent or the one who is practicing control? So, for example, when there is upavas. Now, this particular month in Tamil Nadu is considered very spiritual month. So even these, many of them who generally eat non-veg, this month they don't eat. In the whole month, they don't eat non-vegetarian food. Now, this tapasya, the moment you become aware, you control your senses. By indulging in your senses, whether it's perception, action, emotions or thought, you bring unhappiness to yourself. Through attachment, you bring unhappiness to yourself. World is not the source of unhappiness. Please understand this correctly. World is not the source of unhappiness. Your attachment to the world brings you unhappiness. By itself, world doesn't give you happiness or unhappiness. If you're attached, it brings you unhappiness. If you're detached, it brings you happiness. So, Shambhu, one who bestows happiness on his devotees. So, those who identify with the Atma, they with the awareness, contact the senses. So they don't indulge in the senses. Such people are totally in every contact. So they enjoy the contact also and they are always happy. Therefore, when you turn your attention towards the Atma within, you instantly start feeling the happiness and it will be retained always. So therefore, Shambhu, one who bestows happiness on his devotees, like some people wrongly understand these things, like, oh, only if you are devoted to Vishnu, you will get happiness. If you are devoted to some other God, then Vishnu will not give you happiness. It's not like that. All, when in English we say gods, plural word, agar we are using, we mean all the divine expressions, the manifested powers. But when we talk about that Brahman, ultimate reality, we use the singular word God with capital G. So when you turn your attention away from all this material stuff, whether it is a material wealth or physical enjoyment, or emotional excitements or intellectual delights, you turn away from all that. You exercise control over that. You exercise awareness over that. Then you find the happiness. So Swayambhu, Shambhu and Adityaha, the golden hued person in the sun's orbit. Meaning the golden person in the glowing sun. So, the pure consciousness is that which enlivens the Aditya, the sun also. I am Aditya. He says, I am Vishnu. I am Vishnu of all Adityas, he said in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, the golden hued person in the sun's orbit. What it means is, the very sun per se means the golden person, the disc of the sun. Vishnu is the one who's manifest, who gives the ability to send vitality to the earth, ability to lend vitality to earth, is given to the sun by Vishnu. Therefore, Adityaha, Pushkarakshaha, lotus-eyed. Lotus represents peace. So lotus-eyed means peaceful, one who is paripurna, one who is complete, one is calm, one is compassionate. What lotus-eyed means. Mahashwanaha. Mahashwanaha means of mighty sound. The first sound that came out of Lord is the Vedas. So Mahashwanaha refers to the Shruti, the Veda, the great sound. First came the space, only then the air and everything. And in space the sound travels. So Vedas are called as divine given knowledge. Knowledge that came from God himself or herself or itself. It's not given by the human. Through the human beings who exhausted their vasanas, dissolved their egos, identified with the Atma, through them Bhagavan spoke. Even in Bhagavad Gita we say, Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Blessed Lord said. So, Vedic mantras are all given by Lord of mighty sound, Mahashwanaha, Anadi Nidanaha. Next. Anadi means without beginning. Adi means Janma. Anadi means without Janma. Nidanam, Nidanaha means Vinashaha. Anadi Nidanam. Anadi Anidanam means one without beginning, therefore one who has no destruction. Destruction is only possible for something that came into manifestation. Only that which is born can be destroyed. Death is only for that which is born. Something that is never born has no death. So anadi nidanaha, the one existence that has neither birth nor death. These names and forms that came into existence will have destruction. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, weapons do not kill you. Water does not wet you. Fire does not burn you. Wind does not blow you. The Atma. Nainam chindanti shastrani. Nainam dahati pavakaha. Nachainam kledayanti apaha. Ashoshayati marutaha. So, these five elements are gross. Atma is subtle. It is not born when the elements are born. It does not perish when the elements perish. So, it is anadi nidana. So, when you read these kind of namas of Lord, you would find in our tradition, these namas are given to the beings when they are born. Each one of us. So when we have these namas themselves, when we understand the meaning and contemplate upon them, they themselves help us to develop detachment with reference to this body and the bodily connections, relationships, and the bodily achievements and stuff that is hoarded by the body or inherited by the body. So this very naming itself has a lot of depth. It helps us once we understand to go beyond. So anadi nidana. Data, one who is the support of this entire universe. Uh, I've said this many times. The number of herbivorous animals are more compared to the carnivorous animals. The number of vegetation is more, the plant kingdom is more than the herbivorous animal. And the soil is fertile. The seeds, everything is provided by nature. The intelligence to think and grow your grains is given to you. The seeds are given by nature. Intelligence is given. All you need to do is work, and that ability to work also is given. So basically everything is supported by that spiritual essence, and that's called dhata. So when we are supporting somebody, we need to understand that actual supporter is Lord. That's why another name which is coming, Dhatu Uttamah. So Dhata, then Vidhata, then Dhatu Uttamah. So Vidhata means one who generates karmas and their fruits. So basically what it means is, as per our karma, each one of us will gain the fruits. So one who gives the fruits according to our action, he is the dispenser of the fruit of action and gives us the ability to act. That's what Vidhata means. And Dhatu Uttamaha means, of all the Dhatus, the best. The best of all supporters, you may say. And when you say the best of all supporters, any kind of support are not independent. They themselves are dependent on the Brahman. Therefore, Dhatu Uttamaha means the best of all supporter. Also, there is another meaning. Dhatus means constituents. All these, you know, various constituents like earth, etc. So Dhatu Uttamaha means the conscious. It's like when you cook food, you have added all ingredients in the right proportion and you have cooked it in the right temperature, the correct number of time, everything you've done. But you forgot to add salt. What will happen? The food will be tasteless, insipid. So, all these dhatus, without the chit, the pure consciousness, will be nothing. So, therefore, if you look at it as the constituents, all the matter are there, but without the pure consciousness, you will be of no use. This is the concept, but people understand all these things wrongly and then they say, you know, gotten into wrong understanding. See, Purusha and Stri. Male, female, you can say. When you talk about Puri Kshetre iti Purusha, in this Puri, the Lord, one who resides, is pure consciousness. So, therefore, Purusha refers to pure consciousness. If that is Purusha, then everything else is Sri. Matter is three. Purusha is consciousness. From that angle. So when Sri has lost her husband, Purusha, what it means is, you, just matter alone is useless in that sense. But they take it beyond its limitations, and then they gotten into all these kind of nonsense in the entire society. But literally, dhatu uttamaha. All the various dhatus are there. See, like for example, if you take our body, blood, bones, bone marrow, all are there, flesh, everything is important. But all this per se will be what? Useless if the pure consciousness is not reflected in it. Therefore, dhatu uttamaha. Dhata vidhata dhatu uttam. That brings us to 45 namas total. Let's get on to the next sloka. Aprameyo rishikesha padmanabho maraprabhu vishvakarma manuskvashka stavishtastaviro dhruvaha. Aprameyo rishikesha padmanabho maraprabhu vishvakarma manuskvashka stavishtastaviro dhruvaha. Aprameyaha. Aprameya means immeasurable. One who cannot be measured by any means of a measuring device. Impossible. Aprameyaha. The immeasurable. Brahman cannot be reached by the senses. Brahman cannot be reached by the mind. Brahman cannot be reached by the intellect. So, aprameyaha. One who is without, one who is not possible to be measured or understood. You cannot understand Brahman with your intellect. You cannot feel Brahman. You cannot understand Brahman. You cannot touch Brahman. Brahman cannot be seen. It's beyond the perceptions, beyond the scope of mind, intellect, senses, everything. Aprameya. Rishikeshaha. Rishika Ishaha, the master of the senses, one who keeps the senses under control. That is one meaning, Rishikeshaha means. So, Rishikesha, Rishika Isha. Rishika means senses, Isha means Lord. He controls the senses. There are different meanings also. One who has beautiful hair. No. One who's got close hair. Nicely tied close hair. All these different interpretations are there. So, three means sun and moon. Kesha means rays. One who delights the sun and moon by his rays. All these different meanings are there. But popular interpretation is Rishika Isha. Lord of senses. Your senses will be insipid without pure consciousness enlivening it. Your mind intellect will be insipid without pure consciousness enlivening it. Therefore, the Lord of all the senses, mind and intellect. Shikesha. Padmanabha. In whose navel the lotus, the source of universe stands. So, Padmanabha. The name Padmanabha. Padma. That has come from the Nabi of Mahavishnu. In that Padma, Brahmaji comes. So the very creator, which means the source of this Brahmaji who created the universe. So the ultimate source of the universe is Vishnu. That's what it means. Padmanabha. See, when you read these namas, just the per se the word is Padmanabha. Means lotus navel. You know, he whose navel from which the lotus came. How, what does it mean? It means the source, which means refers to Vishnu who? Padmanabha. Amara Prabhu. Amara means Devas. Lord of Devas. Amara Prabhu. Devas themselves go to him when they are in trouble. Sura Asura. Another name for Devas is Sura. Asura means Rakshasas and Asuras, the demons. The demons, meaning the demonic tendencies, the desires. Now when the desires take over, the way to deal with desire is identifying with consciousness. So the Devas, head of Devas is Indra, and all these Devas with their head, they go to Mahavishnu. They say, now you have to help us to deal with this. And then Mahavishnu says, okay, at the appropriate time, I will manifest and I'll take care of the demon. So Amara Prabhu, Lord of the Immortals. Immortals here does not mean self-realized souls. Immortals means Devas. That's it. Relatively they are immortal. The real immortality is realizing the self. But when you, through punya, attain the Devaloka, in Devaloka, you exist for certain duration. The duration may be little longer there. See, our 12 months is one day for them. Okay. 12 months is one day. So 1 year is one day for them. Now imagine, if you calculate like that, if you live as Deva for 100 years in Devaloka, from our level it looks like, my God, so many days. But from that angle, that is mortal only. From our angle, it is relatively mortal. Therefore, Amara Prabhu, the Lord of Immortals, meaning the Lord of Devas. Vishwakarma. He whose karma has resulted in all that exists. Who created this Vishwa, that's what it means. Vishwakarma means he whose action resulted in this universe. The very creator of the world of objects. That's what it means. The one who created the world of objects and one who created these equipments of experiences. The objects are there. But if you did not have these eyes, mind, intellect, you won't experience. So, one who created the world of objects, one who created the equipments of experiences and of all experiences, called Vishwakarma. Manuhu means thinker, one who has the ability to reflect upon the higher aspects of life. Manuhu, the thinker. We think with the intellect. But the intellect itself, if you analyze, per se is jara. I don't know if you remember, we discussed the krama of creation. For your understanding, I'll repeat it once again. Brahman, which is nirguna tattvam. In that Brahman, which is big brahmatva iti brahma, means it's big, infinite. The infinite potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman exists in Brahman. Now, when Lakshmi Narayan exists, the potential of not understanding Lakshmi Narayan as Lakshmi Narayan exists in Lakshmi Narayan. Similarly, the potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman exists in Brahman. That is a tremendous Shakti. So when you talk about Brahman with Shakti, you use another specific word called Ishvara. So Ishvara is Maya Sahita Brahman. From that Ishvara, the Maya, the potential is Triguna Atmika. Triguna Atmika means Satvika, Rajasika, Tamasika, Gunas are inherent in Maya. So when Maya expresses the space, air, fire, water, earth comes. The Satvik aspect of space creates the ears. Ears, not the physical ears, but the capacity to hear, the subtle ability to hear. That's the real ear. If somebody cuts your ears, the physical ears, you can still hear. So therefore, from the sattvic aspect of space comes ears. From the sattvic aspect of air comes the sense of touch. From the sattvic aspect of fire comes the sense to see. From the sattvic aspect of water comes the sense to taste. The sattvic aspect of earth comes the sense of smell. And the collective sattvic aspect of all this, space, air, fire, water, earth, comes the mind and intellect. Now this space, air, fire, water, earth that I talk about is not gross space, gross air, gross fire, gross water, gross earth. I'm talking about subtle. Tanmatras is a technical term for it. So, in the Tattva Bodha, Adi Shankara beautifully explains, from the sattvic aspect, the organs of perception comes and the mind comes, the intellect comes. Why does he say so? What is the name given for the organs of perception in Sanskrit? Jnana Indriyas. Jnana Indriyas. The organs of perception are called Jnana Indriyas because through the organs of perception you can gain knowledge. You don't know what an apple looks like or what an apple is. You don't know what an apple is. So I bring an apple and show it to you. You see it. You touch it. You taste it. You gain the knowledge of an apple. Oh, so apple means a fruit which looks like this, which feels like this, which tastes like this, which smells like this. So, organs of perception gives you knowledge. So knowledge means sattva. Stagnation means tamas. Action means rajas. So the organs of perception and the mind and intellect through which the knowledge is gained, they all must have come from the sattvic aspect. Then they talk about the five organs of action and five pranas which relate to activities. Adi Shankara says they came from the rajasic aspect of these elements. Then the tamasic aspect of these elements goes through a process called panchikarana, the pentamerous self-division and mutual combination process, through which the subtle elements combine with one another and form the gross elements. So the space that we know, the space that we, also the earth that we know, the earth that we know, the water that we know, the fire that we know, they're all gross elements. They have come from the tamasic aspect. And from the combination of the gross elements, this gross body has come about. So, the intellect is what the equipment with which one can think. Correct? But that equipment per se cannot think. When that equipment is enlivened by the pure consciousness, it can think. Therefore, manuhu means thinker, which is atma. There is no other thinker except atma. Twashtaha. Twashta means the reducer. At the time of pralaya, withdrawal of the universe, all beings are reduced, even the gross things are reduced. One who makes gross things of huge dimensions into minutest particles, it's called twashtaha. Savishtaha. Twashtaha, savishtaha. Savishtaha means the biggest. All the gross things also have come from him only. So both the gross and subtle is Brahman. Saviro Dhruvaha. Saviro Dhruvaha means ancient and firm. Motionless. The first, ancient means first. Before time. See, we start the class at 11 o'clock and we end at 12:15. So we say, 1 hour 15 minutes passed. So time is measured at the second experience. From the first experience to the second experience, the whole thing is called time. But in the very first experience, Brahman is there. Without Brahman, no experience, action is possible. Therefore, ancient, beyond time. Brahman is ancient, the first, beyond time. And time means changing. But here it says Saviro Dhruvaha means is beyond time and is firm and changeless in time. That's what it means. Time cannot condition him. Over a period of time, he has become like this. Not possible. Oh, in childhood days, to give a lot of respect and regard to people. Now, soft-spoken he was. Look at him now. This is not the case with Brahman. He's not going through change. Time can do nothing to Brahman. It remains the same. Saviro Dhruvaha. So, we have completed with this 54 namas. Let's get on to the next sloka. Agrasya Shashvata Krishna Lohitaksha Pratardanaha Pratardanaha Prabhutastrikukab Kudhama Pavitram Mangalam Param Agrasya Shashvata Krishna Lohitaksha Pratardanaha Prabhutastrikukudhama Pavitram Mangalam Param Agrasya. Agrasya means one who cannot be grasped by our equipments, agrahya, grahana shakti. The very grahana shakti is given to the intellect by atma. So, it's like, you know, you use the tongs to grab certain things. With that very tongs, you cannot grasp the fingers that holds the tongs. With the tongs, using your fingers, you hold the tongs and you pick up few things from the ground or on the table, from the table. But if you try to use that very same tongs to hold your fingers, not possible. So which means what? It's a source of grahya. Intellect cannot understand God. Do not try to understand Brahman. You will not be able to understand Brahman. Not possible. You will not be able to. Therefore, agrahya shashvataha, which remains at all times the same, which is permanent. Nothing in this universe is shashvata. Nothing is permanent. You see this tamasha every day, especially in politics. Everything keeps on changing. The one particular party is ruling, and then other people are all, they say, oh, they put cases against them. They fight those cases. Goes on. They come to power. They put cases on these people. Nothing is permanent. Shashvat. The only thing that is Shashvatam is Vishnu, Brahma. So when we understand this, agrahya shashvatam, why should I spend my energy in things that will be there with me temporarily? What's the use? While I have an option to get something permanent. So, shashvatam, permanent. Only thing that is permanent is Vishnu or Brahman. Nothing else is shashvatam. Everything keeps on changing, keeps on passing. Old order changes, yielding place to the new. So there is no point attaching oneself with any of these impermanent. The only thing that is permanent is Brahman, nothing else. It's very funny sometimes, you know. It's not funny, it's a little bit, it's a lesson that we need to learn. There will be two close friends. They'll be in different parties, or maybe in the same parties. And then suddenly one fellow switches sides. Then the friends themselves fight with each other. Fight with each other means they use all kinds of names against each other. And you think that is going to be permanent? No. Suddenly they become friends again. This tamasha goes on. We should learn from all this. What we should learn is unnecessarily wasting our time and energy to just understand nothing is shashvatam in this universe. Therefore, try to identify with that one permanent aspect. When we understand these things, then we don't get disturbed by any events that happen around us. Oh, my own friend is calling me names like this. My own sister, my own brother, my own kith and kin are behaving to me like this suddenly. I mean, there's nothing permanent. The only thing that is permanent is self. So if we really understand this, we do not want to waste our energy into temporary things. Temporary things are needed for this tamasha that we play in this, on this earth. Beyond that, it has no scope. So why lose our head for all this nonsense? That should be your thinking when you read this nama. Krishna. One of the meanings of Krishna in Sanskrit is dark. That which is dark to us is Atma. So Krishna means Atma, Brahman. Also the word Krish means existence, and Na means bliss. So Krishna means existence and bliss. This is a chit which is existence and bliss. Lohitakshaha. red-eyed. Red-eyed indicates anger, you know. Anger towards the adharmic. Lohitakshaha, red-eyed. Earlier we studied, you know, the namas like soft-petaled, like lotus-eyed. All these namas we studied. Now he says, Lohitakshaha, red-eyed. So red-eyed means one who destroys all the evil forces. That's what it means. Lohitakshaha. Destroying the evil. See, remember this. Remember this. That you don't have to destroy anything. You cannot destroy. If you fight with your desires, you will not be able to win desires. So take it from me. Take it from me means what I've learned from the gurus. Because if you fight with the darkness, can you win? Impossible to win. Impossible. The only way you can remove darkness is by bringing light. There is no other method. Yesterday, somebody was talking to me about the alarming situation in some of the places. There was this movie also, no? Dilip Kaur Punjab. So, I don't know. They told me that there are these heavy cases of drugs in certain places of Punjab. A lot of these youngsters are all addicted to drugs like that. Like that, in Tamil Nadu, what I hear is a lot of people are addicted to alcohol. Tamil Nadu and Kerala. I believe too much addiction to the alcohol. And what extent in the sense, they, as soon as they wake up in the morning, they don't even brush their teeth, but they take the bottle and drink. Young fellows, that much they are addicted. So one fellow was saying, he did some research on gamblers. So in Chennai, we have a race course. So, he did some research there. Every day he used to go analyze all these fellows and did some research. And then he finally stopped it. He didn't continue with it. So, he was sharing this thing. Those guys are so much addicted to gambling or drinking, alcohol or whatever it may be. You cannot talk to them, sir. He says, when you sit and talk with one fellow, sometimes he will be listening to you. So you will think, my God, please, this fellow is listening. There is a possibility of changing this guy. So he'll listen to you for half an hour. And then he'll say, thank you very much, you know. So then you say, yeah, I appreciate you listening. So you better follow. He says, yeah, thank you very much. So you yourself acknowledge that I listened to you for half an hour. So why don't you tell me a bottle, order me a bottle of drink for me. In the sense, you patiently talk to those guys to take them out of it. After listening to all that he says, because he listened to you patiently for half an hour, he wants another bottle to drink. This is the condition. You cannot get them out. So, don't fight with the evil tendencies in us. Sometimes, you know, we fight with our own evil tendencies. Supposing you have the tendency to gossip, you say, I don't want to gossip. I don't want to gossip. But then, you are not able to get out of it. I don't want all these evil tendencies. We keep on fighting, but the evil tendencies become more strong. When you fight with them, they become more strong. If you are intelligent, what you will do is, you will try to light the lamp of knowledge within. As we are exposed to a different, higher level of knowledge, it will go. It cannot exist. Impossible. So, sattva removes tamas and rajas. Therefore, all you need to do is increase your awareness, increase your sattva, light the lamp. All the negative things will slowly, slowly go away. That's why in our culture, in all possible ways, they just want to give you that knowledge. Every day there is, like nowadays, you know, because of this WhatsApp only I come to know all this. Otherwise I won't. Brothers Day, suddenly today. Some of my brothers, cousin brothers, everybody, happy Brothers Day. Suddenly, happy Sisters Day. Happy this day, happy that day. Every day there is something or the other. I think, I was wondering what will they do after all the 365 days are named. Then probably what they do is happy morning, this particular morning is for this, this afternoon is for that, this night is for that. I don't know what they'll do. So many days, like that what they've done is, every day they created this stories of the Lords. And they, if you read those stories, those Puranic stories and everything, these days are good for this devata, those days are good for that devata, like that they kept. And various devatas are installed, the gods and goddesses are installed in different places. So then they designed a lifestyle based on this so that you're constantly living, thinking of God. Constantly. So the person who starts living like that, but unfortunately now there are people who only do these things mechanically. That will not work. But when you begin to understand these things and do, you will see that you cannot get into any evil thing. Impossible. So, lohitakshaha, red-eyed, anger, denotes anger, means one who destroys all the negative forces, evil forces. One who doesn't tolerate the evil tendencies. Pratardhanaha. Tarda means destruction. Pratardhanaha means one who destroys everything supreme destruction. One who does this total destruction is called Pratardhanaha. So at the time of dissolution, all this is sucked inside Brahman. It's called Pratardhanaha. Prabhutaha. Prabhutaha means born full or ever full. He is ever full and perfect in his essential nature. Paripurna, that's what it means. Paripurna is what the meaning is. Prabhu, well endowed, doesn't lack anything in whether wisdom or greatness or in anything. Absolutely well endowed. Prabhutaha. There is no lack. There is no sense of incompletion. It's paripurna. Trika kub dhamaha. One who is the very foundation or support of three quarters. Three quarters generally they take a upper, middle and niche. From Vedantic angle it is waking, dream and deep sleep. Trika kub dhamaha. Very foundation of the waking, dream and deep sleep. Pavitram. Pavitram. Pavitram means pure. The holy. Pavitra means the rishi or deity that purifies. Or he who is the means of purification. That's what I explained to you in the very beginning in my introduction also. Just like you give bath to your body, when you chant these namas, they purify your tongue. All the time talking words like idiot, buffoon, fool, monkey, donkey. These are the words we are talking. Whereas when you chant, when you have this practice of chanting Vishnu Sahasra Nama, your organ of speech is being used to put to use positively. It with the meaning when you understand and chant, it cleanses the mind also. So therefore pavitram. Param mangalam. Also this word pavitram has a very interesting another meaning it seems. Pavi, you know this, lot of people who have the name Pavitra, they call Pavi. Hi Pavi. You know, like many of my friends, they call me Lakshmi. Full name Lakshmi Narayan, nobody calls me, except my mother. Some people call Lux. Slowly, slowly, I don't know what will happen. So Pavitram, Pavitram. So Pavi means the Vajra, the thunderbolt of Indra, weapon that Indra had, which is made of the bones, thigh bones of sage Dadichi. So when Indra hurls that thunderbolt on anybody, they'll be finished. Indra represents mind. Remember that. The Lord of Devas means mind. Indra means mind. So Indra hurls the weapon. When he hurls the weapon, means it will finish you. So Tra, Tram means one who protects, saves. So one who saves his devotees from the thunderbolt of Indra. What is this? The trouble comes from where? From the mind. Our dear delights are often such exposed to view but not to touch. The sight of our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples in friends. With hopeless wish one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a wheat. A beautiful, beautiful poem, Pineapple and the Bee by William Cowper. The sight our foolish heart inflames. So Indra's thunderbolt is this only. Dil mange more. Mere ko ye chahiye. Mere ko wo chahiye. Mere ko ye bas nahi. I want more, 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 more. This I want. This, this, this. And all kinds of things. Jealousy, greed, fear. Indra is hurling all this from mind. How do you protect yourself from your own mind's thunderbolts? Yes, Vishnu, Pavitram. If you grab Vishnu's feet, if you meditate upon Vishnu, if you chant Vishnu's name all the time, it serves you, saves you well. It saves you from this, all these thunderbolts hurled by Indra, the mind. This is a big problem. You can escape from the enemies outside, but these things you cannot escape. to find out all these big corporations. They came up with so much of hard work and smart work. But with greed, they destroyed themselves. The sooner they grew, the faster they destroyed themselves. Why greed? Swamiji keeps talking about this particular person in Coimbatore. Many years ago, I believe, he used to be in the printing business. One of the tough businesses, you know. Agri business is like that, but printing business, because I was also somehow connected in somebody's printing business many years ago. I little bit understand that. A fellow will say this color and the color I told you is not matching, and he'll reject the whole thing. How am I going to get the payment? You know, all kinds of problems are there. So, the fellow who was engaged in printing business, he had to put in hard work, then get the money from the clients, and then maybe he'll get it after 3-4 months. One day he got a thought, what is all this nonsense? I am printing for them and then they pay me after 3-4 months. Why not I print cash directly? That one thought came to his head. Let me print cash only. Rupees. And he started printing rupees and he got caught. So, one thought. Indra will be sitting and giving you all these kind of thoughts. That's enough to destroy us. That is why we need to chant Vishnu Sahasranama every day. If you do it sincerely, it will destroy evil tendencies in us. Pavitra. Param Mangalam, 63rd Nama. Mangalam means auspicious. Param Mangalam, supreme auspiciousness. What it means. By removing the negativities, it brings good things in your life. So Pavitram destroys the negative things. Param Mangalam means not only it destroys the negative, it brings good for you. It is that which is Shreya, not Preya. So for your good, you got to keep in touch with Vishnu. Vishnu is not interested in your company or not. Whether you come or not, it doesn't bother him. But by keeping in touch with Vishnu, it helps. Param Mangala. So when you are desire ridden, your thoughts are so, what is the word? So cheap. So demeaning. But when you elevate your thoughts to the level of Brahman, Atman, and you're thinking, it's such a sublime level. Scheming, planning, and all this nonsense is not there. So it elevates you by providing you Mangalam. You let go, you don't hoard, you're detached, you're forgiving. So it's Mangalam. The awareness, when you gain the awareness of Atman, it removes all the negativities from your bosom and it provides you such peace. Unnecessarily, why you want to get involved in all this? You don't. Give you peace. So remembrance of Lord Vishnu gives us the absolute auspiciousness. So therefore, Param Mangala. So we have done up to 63rd Nama. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions, please do ask. See, when you are reading this Vishnu Sahasra Nama, per se, these Namas, you understand that is no big, that's no big deal. But each and every Nama will remind us what we studied in the Bhagavad Gita, the very philosophy. For example, three, Kakub Dhamaha. One who is the support of all the three worlds. So the waking, dream and deep sleep. So the waking state of consciousness, the dream state of consciousness and the deep sleep state of consciousness. These are three states of consciousness. These are conditioned consciousness. So when he says three kakub dhamaha, the one which is substratum of all these three, that is called turiya, the fourth. It's not fourth state, it's fourth. Fourth means it's beyond. So it is without the pure consciousness, there won't be deep sleep or the dream state or the deep sleep state. Sorry, waking state. So, deep sleep, dream, waking state won't be there. It's not possible. The self that supports. So then, during the waking state, I need to be truly awake. Truly awake in the sense, each one of us are awake now. But when I am all the time identifying with that Nama, Trika Kubdamaha, then I am truly identified. Sorry, truly awake. So then, when all the tamasha is going on, I don't get involved. You know, people say, oh, this stress is too much, I can't handle this. I feel like committing suicide. You won't say that. If you understand that. Trika Kubdama. Why would you want to get involved and then unnecessarily? This waking state is not Shashvatam. So you connect all those namas. Shashvatam, Pavitram, Aram Mangalam, Trikakub Dhamaha. All those things when you reflect independently. What all we studied in Gita, you will digest it even better. That is how you turn objective and detached. Otherwise, we will just know few names and few meanings of names, which is useless. It is absolutely useless. Useless in the sense, not going to help you to become a better person in life. So 63 namas that we completed. You please go through that again and again. Let's conclude. So, Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Va Prakrute Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Yeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next week.
Hari Om Guruji.
Hari Om Guruji.